Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our reflection this morning is from our first lesson, Acts chapter 10. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation accepts anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. Some say that by virtue of our social and political climate, we are more divided than ever. There is what appears to be an ever-increasing sense of us versus them. However one defines us and them in the moment. There are no end of demographic categories or characteristics by which we might divide ourselves one from another. A few are lighthearted, Packer fans versus Bear fans, but far more are entirely serious, citizen versus immigrant. Rich versus poor, black, white, life versus choice, Republican, Democrat, liberal versus conservative, and the list could go on and on and on. We draw up sides. Sides in the halls of government. Literally, on one side of the aisle is us, and on the other side is them. And in recent days, it seems as if that aisle, barely a few feet wide, is a chasm so great it cannot possibly be crossed from one side to the other. We draw up battle lines in the public square. We make placards, we hold them up, we shout at one another. We require law enforcement to keep one side apart from the other. And we circulate some truly profane memes, messages, and slogans on social media, seemingly intended to demonize the other side. Demonize whoever we are calling them in the moment. And as bad as it seems now, and I am by no means intending to downplay our state of division, we have not entered into some new era of human history with respect to conflict and brokenness. In fact, we read in the book of Ecclesiastes, written some 2,900 years ago, that there is nothing new under the sun. Indeed, there is not. Division has always been a tragic hallmark of the human condition. Here in our country in the mid-19th century, the opposing sides of these battle lines, they weren't just holding up signs and shouting at one another. They were wielding muskets with bayonets attached, charging headlong into civil war. The division between us and them in those years was bitter, bloody, mortal combat. Combat that in large part was fought over what it means to be fully human. And even after that dreadful war, laws of separation remained in place for a shameful length of time, a lasting stain on a country founded on the principle that all are created equal. If you look back into first century Palestine, division was also dictated by law. In Acts chapter 10, it was just before our reading for today, Peter reiterates what was uncomfortably known to all when he said, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or to visit with him." That separation had been formally defined for centuries until it was dismantled by God Himself in the coming of Jesus Christ. And in this profound vision given to Peter, a heavenly voice declared, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." The vision conveyed to Peter was using animals that had been previously considered ritualistically unclean. But it became quickly apparent to Peter that a far larger point in that vision was God's intended message to dissolve the battle lines in human culture. And that's where we catch up with Peter today in our reading from Acts 10. Peter is in the house of a Gentile, a Roman soldier, no less, named Cornelius. And it's important that we try to grasp the radical significance of this meeting, because Peter is in the midst of the enemy. He is technically still breaking Jewish law, but now acting under God's new command. He was invited into the centurion's house to teach, and so he begins, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality." Gentiles are people who by birth were considered outside the house of Israel. They were no longer to be summarily regarded as unclean or impure or enemies. The elimination of the centuries-old division is what I would call a kind of transformative declaration. God Himself transformed Peter's understanding of their identity from being outside the chosen people of God to being welcomed into the kingdom of God. There was to be no more us and them. A truly radical transformation. Now, we might be tempted to write off or just ignore this episode as an ancient biblical story. But the message Peter received and the way in which his perspective was changed is extraordinarily timely in our day while we continue to live in a culture that remains painfully divided in so many ways. Because here in Acts 10 is a radical truth for an authentic Christian life. For we as God's people in Christ, His church, must never be satisfied by being separated between us and them, however we define them. We simply cannot look at another group of people, even though they may look, seem, act, believe radically different than we do. We can never simply write them off as outsiders, foreigners, enemies. The Lord's word does not afford us the latitude to write off other people as just being the other. Now let's be very clear, this call to look beyond our division, to recognize that God shows no partiality and neither should we, this call does not suggest or imply that there is some sort of artificial unity that already exists among all people all over the world. We know it does not. But this challenge from Acts 10 calls on us to strive alongside Peter to bear witness to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, wherever, whenever, and with whomever God gives us opportunity. Again, never simply writing off someone as too different, too foreign, too insignificant for our efforts or attention. We strive always to see that person become a brother or sister in Christ. In the account before us, we see the extraordinary fruit of Peter's labors. We read in verse 44 While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and all the believers from among those who were with Peter were amazed, because the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. So there we see God's power at work in a people that previously Peter had thought were simply beyond the pale, beyond the grace of God. And here we see there is no such person who is beyond being sought out to share God's grace, whatever, regardless of whatever other labels we might have attached to them. And what happened when Peter shared the word of God? The Holy Spirit was at work. Faith was created. A whole household was baptized. And we may not always see that kind of incredible result. Neither did Peter. Recall, there were enemies of the gospel in his day, enemies by whose hand he was eventually martyred, murdered for sharing the good news. But so long as he had life, had breath in his life, he refused to quit. That is radical outreach. And we need that kind of grit in our church. We need that kind of tenacious grit in the American Christian life. We need to embrace an unwillingness to ever see someone, however different they may appear or act or believe, to ever see them as unworthy of our own outreach. Remember also, this call to always reach out is not an invitation for us to compromise our confession. For Jesus calls us first and foremost to remain in him. He calls himself the vine, from which we are the branches. We are called to abide in his love. And he says in John 15, our gospel reading, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We must still walk according to the will and ways of God, no matter where our culture goes. We follow his commands as they are revealed in Scripture, and one of the most fundamental of those commands is to love one another. And Jesus gives no limitations to what he means by one another. In fact, it calls to mind the story of the man who came to Jesus and said, "Who is my neighbor?" Well, we know the answer. The answer was anyone who is in need, anyone with whom you might be in relationship. And for that person, whoever it is, applies the command of God for your love to be extended to them. No excuses. Christ died for them as much as he did for you. So I'm going to invite you today to think about how you characterize people in your life as being either among your definition of us or those who are among them. And think about one or two of the people who are in that group of them and how you can reach out to them in kindness and friendship with the love of Christ. And make it plain to them that whatever division stands between you, and it may be legitimate, but whatever division stands between you, that division is still transcended by the love of God. The universal invitation of God's grace, it comes by faith in Jesus Christ for everyone. For we are all created by the same God. For us and for them, God's purpose in commanding our love for one another is the same. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." We follow the commands of our Lord and we receive from him that sense of earthly joy. So this day, let us be filled with a joy of following Christ's example and his command of love, and then let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Amen.